Let's take a moment to pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now as we take some moments to think about that wonderful day so long ago. And the Holy Spirit came and brought us all together as a church family. Speak to each of our hearts that we might hear what we need to hear today. And speak through me as I share the message that you've given me this week. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're okay now? All right, good. Until a few years ago, before the family got too large for all of us to be there at one time, the Rao family would have family weekends at our family camp in Union County, Pennsylvania. Much of the weekend, we spent our time eating, playing games, hiking, listening to sports events on the radio, reading, talking, and laughing, listening to the sports. And we sat around a large campfire. The fire pit is large enough for everyone, 15 to 20 people, to sit around it comfortably. We spend a lot of our day around that fire. Usually, whoever got to the cabin first started the fire. They built a big fire that we would call a Rao fire. We had plenty of firewood available to us since we were in the mountains, of course. We fed that fire from the first thing in the morning until nighttime, at bedtime, actually. All the guys liked taking their turns at stirring the coals and throwing more wood on the fire. We cooked on that fire, too, and that made such delicious meals. The last person sitting by the fire at the end of the day poured water on the fire if there were still flames. And because the fire was so hot, the fire did not go out totally by morning. Even when water was poured on the night before, there always were hot coals somewhere in that pit that we could use to start the morning fire. This went on until the last family left for home. This morning we read the Pentecost story. The story tells us about another kind of fire. The story tells us about the promised day that Jesus had spoken of, the day when the Helper would come, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. It happened on a day when all those believing in the resurrected Christ were together for the Feast of Pentecost, which was one of Israel's three agricultural festivals, when all of a sudden there was a sound like the strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it was coming from. It filled the whole building. And then, like the wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. That was Eugene Peterson's translation from The Message. The Holy Spirit made quite a dramatic entrance. Can you imagine what that must have been like? The believers filled by the Spirit suddenly spoke in many different languages. And now at this point, we could get lost in that whole discussion about speaking in tongues, but then I would be missing the real point, the most important point, which is that the Holy Spirit came, giving the people, both men and women, the power to be witnesses of Jesus in word or deed in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Because that had not happened, we wouldn't have this church. After the Holy Spirit invaded the space, the flames of the Spirit's power could be seen and heard by more than those gathered in that room. A crowd of thousands began to gather outside, And in the crowd were Jews from many different nations, including Greeks, Arabs, Romans, Africans, and Asians, just to name a few. Each of the people in the crowd could understand that conversation coming from the upper room in his own language. The Message translation says that when these thousands heard one another, their own mother language is being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They said, "They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." The flames of the Spirit couldn't be extinguished. Not even when some in the crowd began to make jokes about them probably being drunk on cheap wine. The believers felt no embarrassment about what was happening. They were changed by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, brought together with purpose by the Spirit. They became the body of Christ, the church, spreading like a wildfire for Jesus. Let's turn our thoughts toward the church today in our world. Do you think the fire of the Holy Spirit is still spreading like wildfire? Or is it going out in our world today? Listening or reading the news could certainly make one wonder. We find a lot more bad news than good news in the media. People do some pretty unbelievable and horrible things. People murdering security people when asked as they enter a building to put on a mask. Now, how ridiculous is that? I don't get it. A man dies while being arrested because a policeman has his knee on his neck, cutting off his airway. The man even cried that he couldn't breathe, and the policeman didn't stop. And then there's all those violent street riots taking place now in retaliation. You know, policemen have a really difficult job, one I wouldn't want to do. I have a lot of respect for them. Events like this one have to make their job even harder. Our son, who works as a therapist for a drug and alcohol rehab hospital, said, "Business is booming." Of course, that's not meant in a good way. The pandemic has caused many people to lose jobs, to be cut off by their support systems, to be bored. So the temptation to fall back on drugs and alcohol is strong, and many are succumbing to that temptation. There's no denying that evil is alive and spreading in today's world. Evil pours water on the flames of the Spirit, trying to put it out and creating smoke that gets in the eyes of men and women, blinding them from seeing God. The evil smoke causes men and women to cough and choke, leave them desperate to take a hold of anything that will relieve them of their anxiety and discomfort, their troubles and their pain. There are many earthly things for scared and hopeless people to grab hold of in today's society. But they are only temporary fixes to hide their bad feelings and problems. The good news is, try as it may, however, evil will not be able to extinguish the flames of the Holy Spirit. Not now, not ever. God won't let that happen. The flames may appear to have disappeared in some places, but there will always remain those hot coals, like in our campfire. There will always be those hot coals, even in the darkest of places, even after long periods of time. And those hot coals, like a campfire when fed, we burst into flames again. You may remember that in 2014, nearly 300 girls were kidnapped from their school in Chibok, Nigeria, by the terrorist group Boko Haram. Many brethren churches accepted the call to take the name of one of those girls and pray for her. I'm sure Hagerstown did, maybe even two. At Farnikiti, we accepted a name of a person, a girl to support. Her name was Kwana Luka. I don't think that any of us would argue that the kidnapping of the girls and the continued threat of Boko Haram is the work of the evil one. It is one of those nightmares in the world that leaves all of us feeling like we're powerless and helpless. But even in the midst of kidnapping of the girls, the Holy Spirit was at work. I remember reading an article posted on Facebook by the General Secretary of the time, Stan Nofsinger. He said, a group of second graders at Wakarusa Elementary School challenged their school to gather money for the Chibok girls and their families. All told, these courageous young people gathered about 400 pounds in change, amounting to $1,400. This was matched dollar for dollar by a matching grant, which makes their effort total to be $3,400. Incredible! One young man, young Preston Andrews, came up with this idea because he cared so much for the girls. They all wanted the girls to be returned home safely. Oh, yeah. The fire of the Holy Spirit burns in our world today. We see it through large accomplishments and through small accomplishments like this, the efforts of these second graders. I believe God views all openness to the Spirit and the accomplishments of a call or assignment from God, therefore resulting in fulfillment of the Spirit's work, as huge. You and I, united with Christians all over the world, blessed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, are the flames that shine the light on the one who called himself the light of the world. That's important. Hear it again. You and I, united with Christians all over the world, blessed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, are the flames that shine light on the one who called himself the light of the world. Don't forget that. That's what we're called to do, to allow the Holy Spirit to fuel our fire, to fuel our faith, to live in and through us, so that those in the smoke of evil can be rescued. There's a story about a little girl who, on the way home from church, turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." The mother said, "Oh, why is that?" And the girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are." "Is that true?" "Yes, that's true," the mother replied. "He also said that God lives within us. Is that true?" Again, the mother replied, "Yes, that's true." "Well," said the girl, "if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" How profound. God is bigger than any of us, bigger than anything that might try to extinguish the fire of our faith and keep us from letting our light shine for Jesus. Don't allow discouragement over all that seems to be wrong in our world today to cause you to surrender your faith to hopelessness and meaninglessness. Don't think that even the smallest, things you may be able to do are not worthwhile. Instead, allow the Spirit to be your guide to overcome these feelings. Allow the Spirit to be your source of day-to-day courage and power to face the challenges of this life. Allow the Spirit that you can feel within you to glow. Allow the fire to glow so bright that you can't find the good in this, so that you can find the good in this world to celebrate and to encourage it. I am so tired of hearing people talking always about the bad. There's a lot of good in the world, and the Spirit will show it to you. If you'll just listen. The fire of the Holy Spirit in us will spread and get larger and larger until Jesus returns. The coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost lit the fire of the church. God's Spirit is still and must always be the main source of light for Christians, individually and as the church. We should do what is necessary to keep ourselves in good places for the Spirit's flames to burn hot and the Spirit's light to shine bright. There's a story told by a brother minister of the lighthouse keeper on Robin's Reef off the rocky shore of New England. Jacob Walker, after years of faithful service of minding the light, caught a cold one stormy night and rapidly grew worse and died. His wife buried his body on the hillside above the shore on the mainland in plain view of the lighthouse upon the reef. Then she applied for and received the appointment as the keeper of the light. For 20 years, she carried on alone. And then a New York City reporter went out to get her story. In the course of the interview, she told him this: "Every evening I stand in the door of the lighthouse and look across the water to the hillside where my husband sleeps. I always seem to hear his voice, as he often said when he was alive, 'Mind the light, mind the light, mind the light.' Across the troubled waters and the crashing breakers of our time, there comes another voice to us. A voice from that green hill far away without a city wall. A voice out of the blackness of Earth's darkest day to us in the darkness and evil of our day. And the message of the Son of God is the same. Mind the light. Mind the light. Mind the light." And God helping us, as faithful Christians, we will mind the light, brothers and sisters. Let the flames burn high right where you are, every moment of the day. Amen.